topic. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TGCP Twitter Gaming Channel podcast. So today we've had some good things and some bad things. A lot more good, but some bad. I've been working all day trying to set up all our stuff. It's been kind of hard, but we've got it done, so, you know, we're doing the best we can. So on Fridays we will be doing two-part, one-hour podcast. So this podcast will be 26 minutes long, around. One sec. Alright. So it will be around 26 minutes long, because my partner's podcast was 34 minutes, somewhere around there. So far tonight, Joseph, my partner, has screwed up a podcast. We fixed it, though, really fast. We put it up. We got a download. Somebody downloaded it before we could fix it, so we had to contact them and tell them that that podcast was not ready to be downloaded yet, and they got the other one downloaded, no problem. So that was all good. So welcome to part two on a Friday night. We've been having a lot of fun tonight. I've been doing a lot of research. We have five topics because I have to fill 26 minutes of talking, and I don't have a trailer / gameplay 8-minute long video to go off of like last week whenever I, or yesterday, geez, I'm thinking weekly podcasts already. Like yesterday whenever I did Watch Dogs. So yeah, welcome to our two-part podcast. On our show with us tonight, we had Benjamin Knox. He was my partner's friend and also my friend. He talked pretty well, so we might add him in. We could end up having a 5-person group. Our website will be up, and we have a lot of exciting news. So here we go, and a big shout out to Ben Knox for being on the show. Thank you very much. Frickin' fantastic job. Alright, so on Sunday, or even possibly tomorrow, our dreams will come true and our podcast will go onto iTunes. Hopefully there's no problems. I've been working my butt off to make sure that everything's perfect whenever we're going on iTunes, so that we have a good thing to go off of and we can just start out fresh and, you know, really know what we're doing. So tonight we have five topics. First topic we have Crysis 3, then our other topics are Minecraft, and debate on whether patches are good or bad. I have both sides to the story. Big games that vanished, and also as every day / week whenever we start weekly podcasts, games, news, and rumors. So we will always have those. Once a week, we will also have game of the week, or sometimes game of the month. We did game of the month for January, which was Devil May Cry, I believe. It had two runners up. One was a DLC pack for Elder Scrolls, I believe. Alright, so let's start this off with Crysis 3, which I am very, very, very excited for. Crysis 3 is interesting. It's based off a giant dome biome forest urban area of the rumors surrounding it as New York City, I think. So people are saying it's New York City. I actually saw a gameplay video that said it also said it would be in New York City, so I'm betting it's going to be in New York City. The dome biomes are going to be a new thing. It's just like this giant dome with a forest in it. The evil alien guys have taken over New York City, so everybody was evacuated, and so you're going in there and you're gonna kind of, you know, destroy stuff, kill some dudes, The bow's looking like the pretty prominent weapon in this game. I've seen a lot of the bow over the course of, like, maybe 3 videos. So you're in this dome biome, and it's teeming with life, and it's like sort of a jungle with mixed with an urban combat style, so you're jumping off a lot of stuff, you're getting in sniping positions, you're sneaking up on guys, you know, regular crisis. But the game also will have probably an open world kind of thing to it, which would be amazing, because I'm so used to levels and stuff, but open world, that would be so fun. You have no idea until you play it. So, the rumors surrounding this game, is that there's not going to be much of a story to it. It's just based off of the fans wanting a dome biome around, New York City. I've never heard of, like, a giant fan base wanting that, but it's out there, obviously, because that's what's going to happen, because they're basing that off the fans. Crytek is basing that off the fans. So I don't know if there's going to be a storyline or not. There hasn't been anything released about what the story is going to be like, as far as I know. There's been a, like, beta and a multiplayer beta, but we'll talk about that later. And also, the game already looks stunning. The art is fantastic. The game looks like it's going to be ready whenever it comes out. It's not going to have huge problems. They're already patching it up right now. Some rumors said it was going to come out in February. I really highly doubt that, but you never know. It might if it did come out in February, I wish or hope to be trusting enough in myself that I would know that it was coming out in February. So I'm kind of concerned about the possibility of no storyline, because that can spark up some pretty huge controversy. Usually people like a good storyline in a game, even if it's a first-person shooter. They've usually been pretty good about having a good campaign and a good storyline. So I'm going to be concerned if there is no storyline. I'm assuming there will be, because I don't think you'd just release a game that you're just going to run around and be a freaking retard. I mean, this game's not Medal of Honor, so hopefully it's not going to be retarded. So let's go over some of the things that I've seen so far, and based on the gameplay and stuff like that, we have the look of the game. The game looks like it's going to be really intense. There's a lot of fighting. Of course, it's a first-person shooter, but it looks like it's going to be, like, more intense than a lot of games usually are. I was watching the gameplay trailer, and I pretty much almost shit myself, because it looked like a really good game. It looks like you're going to be creeping around a lot, you know, normal crisis stuff, having fun with that, doing as best as you can. Next part of the game that we can talk about is the sound. I think Crytek has always been known for their sound, because even in their last game and Crysis, the original, they had fantastic sound. The sound in that game was amazing. Everything popped whenever you put your armor on. The noise that the armor made when you put on, it was like, it was awesome. I mean, the stuff for this game has always been great, so I'm assuming sound is going to be as good as it has been, and from what I've heard of the sound from gameplay, multiplayer, and some of the trailers, it's sounding pretty good. So, we have the superb sound, and we have the good looks, we have what looks like good weapons, good first-person shooter attributes, looks like it's going to have a multiplayer, because the multiplayer beta is already out. So, yeah, that's what we have. The game looks pretty badass. So now, EA, of course, is doing it with Crytek, and the Crytek 3 engine is going to be used on it. EA has always excited me with their stuff, besides the new Medal of Honor game. Battlefield 3, obviously, the Bad Company games were great, the multiplayer was good, the original Battlefield games were good, the old Medal of Honor games were good, all the Crysis games have been good. I mean, all their games, I think they've had like maybe 3 bad games in the first-person shooter genre that I can think of that were just probably dead awful, leading with the new release of the new Medal of Honor game. So then you have Craytek, as usual, working on this game. They did a good job every time they've done it before. So I'm going to just assume that they're going to do a great job this time. And if they screw up, it's going to be their own fault. The Craytek Engine 3 looks awesome, of course. It's going to be working. It's going to be doing what it needs to do to run the game. I think it's going to be good stuff. So I'm pretty excited. The multiplayer beta right now is out. It came out January 29th. You can sign up on the Craytek or the Crysis 3 website. They have a separate website for Crysis 3 that links to Craytek and EA that you can register for, get news for, log into. The test beta came out 9 months ago. That was more exclusive for like people who needed to review the or preview. There we go. Preview the game, so they can put it up in their magazines and their podcasts and all that. So it's been a while. They've been announcing this game for a while, putting up videos. They have 7 videos that are coming out before the game's released. I think they're up to 5 or 6. The 5th or 6th one, it's the 7 Wonders of Crysis 3, is the series that's on YouTube that's like 3 minutes long each. It's just showing you new stuff. Like, the newest one is gameplay. It looks pretty cool. I watched it maybe twice to really take it in, see what was going on. Plus, my computer's slow, so I kind of had to watch it twice to get all the good details out of it. The wallpapers are being released for download if you register at the website. And they're already releasing patch notes as of, like, February 8th, I think. The 1.0 patch notes were released. So you already got your wallpapers, your patch notes, your tests, your multiplayer beta testing. So this game actually looks like it could come out in February. It looks like it could be ready to come out whenever they need it to come out. I hope they don't just crap this game out. Crysis really has nobody to compete with because they're their own first-person shooter genre. Which brings up to how Crysis stands in the first-person shooter genre category. Crysis has always been its own shooter. I have never seen a competitor with the Crysis games that really is like right by Crysis, competing with it the entire time, making sure it's like one-upping Crysis. Crysis is at the top of its sci-fi shooter game. I mean, maybe Halo, but Halo's like completely different in my opinion. There's Halo and there's Crysis. Halo is a pretty good game, but in my opinion, in the first-person category, like first-person shooters, the only first-person shooter that is better than Crysis, in my opinion, is Battlefield 3. Which means that, in my opinion, Crysis will beat out Call of Duty any day. Maybe not Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare, because those were really good games. The old Call of Duty games were great, but I'm talking more modern shooters whenever the Crysis games started coming out. Whenever Crysis 3 comes up against, say, Battlefield or the new Call of Duty Black Ops 2, whenever it comes against those games, I'm pretty sure it's going to beat out Call of Duty, and it might even beat out Battlefield. I'm not a total fanboy on Battlefield. I love and enjoy the game because I'm good at it, and I know what I'm doing when I play Battlefield, and I've been playing it since I was like a little kid. I've been playing the Battlefield games. So I really enjoy Battlefield. I liked Modern Warfare 2 better than some of the Battlefield games, so I try not to be a fanboy about certain games. So that's why I'm open to the idea about Crysis 3 being able to beat Battlefield and Call of Duty and rise to the top of its first-person shooter genre. Even though its first-person shooter genre is only a sci-fi type shooter genre, I think it could rise up and, you know, really take first place on the first-person shooter market. Since we have 26 minutes and I've already gone 15 minutes exactly right now, I should get moving because I have a lot more topics. So next topic, we have Minecraft. Since I don't have a lot of time to fill on my footnotes for my podcast, or our podcast, me and Joseph's partnership, yeah, go team. For my footnotes for our podcast, I just put Minecraft, and under Minecraft, I put fill 10 minutes, but if I filled 10 minutes at this point, I'd run into 25 minutes. So, Minecraft, we give it a 10 out of 10. Minecraft is our favorite game. It beats Battlefield, it beats everything. Minecraft is a sandbox, it's creative, it's not expensive. You can get it on the Xbox, you can get it on mobile, and you can get it, of course, on the PC. My favorite version, obviously, is the PC, because the PC is probably just the best console gaming platform out there. Which is actually another topic. There's a new console out there that probably beats out every other console. Well, it's not really a console, it's a PC and a console shell. You'll see what I mean when I talk about it. Alright, next topic, we have whether patches are good or bad. Also, with this one, I put fill this amount of time, which I don't need to fill, because our podcast will probably be long enough. It might even go over. Might hit an hour or 3 minutes, maybe. So I'll watch the time and talk. I can give both sides of the patches story because of Medal of Honor and because I'm an online gamer. If you're not an online gamer and a game comes out on disc and the game's not done, like Medal of Honor, or I'm using Medal of Honor and downing it a lot. I really hated the game. I'm sorry if you like it, but get over it. So if a game's not done and you don't have access to the internet, you're going to get whatever's on the disc. So if you're getting whatever's on the disc and it's total crap, then and you can't patch it with a first day patch because the game's not done, then what are you going to do? I mean, you're just going to get, you're going to pay $60 for a crappy game that wasn't done that's supposed to have a patch. But I think it's somewhere like 10% of gamers don't have online when they're gaming, so it's a pretty big amount. I mean, it's lowering all the time, obviously, but there's people that can't, they physically can't get internet where they are. So patches are good and bad. Online gamers rely on patches because it really shows that the developer is caring about its fan base and saying, hey, we're going to update this, we're going to stay with you guys, we're going to listen to you guys, see what you like, see what you don't like, we're going to patch this, we're going to add some guns, some maps, we're going to try some new things, it's going to really be a party. So that's where patches come in good, but that patches can almost always, almost, or geez, what am I saying, can sometimes come in bad also. Example, prime example, Medal of Honor Warfighter, cough, cough. Okay, so next topic we have is big games that vanished. There were some super giant games that vanished, like nobody was talking about them, except maybe one big person would talk about them, and that's about it. Like, it was a super huge game, everybody loved it, talked about it, fun, yay, whoop-de-doo, and then nobody. It was kind of, the biggest example of this, in my opinion, is Amnesia the Dark Descent. There's one guy on YouTube that does a bunch of Amnesia stuff. Personally, I don't like the guy. He kind of annoys the crap out of me. Therefore, I'm not going to really announce him on the show because that would be a dick move. Because a lot of people like his videos. So, Amnesia. So, I think Amnesia was a huge game for a long time. Everybody loved it. The idea of being in a giant house with a perfect storyline. By the way, Amnesia, 10 out of 10. We've had 6 games total ever that have gotten a 10 out of 10. Amnesia is one of them, so that's why I think it's the biggest concept of games that vanished. So Amnesia, you know, huge game, kind of vanished on us. One guy does it. No one really talks about Amnesia anymore, except for the people who love it like me, which there doesn't seem to be a lot of us anymore. So tweet at me, you know, hit me up on Twitter if you're still, you know, busting out the Amnesia every once in a while, you know, crapping your pants, the norm. So there's also rumors about Amnesia going around. I think it's confirmed stuff. I wrote some of it down, got some of it on the back end, so I'll be ready to share that. But more games that were pretty big that vanished. First, we have... Oh, well, actually, first, before we do another game, Frictional Studios that does Amnesia, they don't really do anything else that I've seen. So, like, they'll do, like, one game, and they'll make a F-ton of money off of it. I've only seen them make Amnesia. I don't know all the games they make. I probably should, since I'm talking about them, but I don't, so get over it. Next game that vanished a little bit, Penumbra. There were a crap ton of Penumbra games. There's like 8, I think. I have all of them, I think. I downloaded them for like $5 off of Amazon because there was a sale on them and you could get like the whole pack for like $5. So I was like, heck yeah, free games, pretty much. So I got them off Amazon. So I have all of them. They're really good games, honestly. They're good puzzle and horror games. They're complicated. It's kind of ridiculous how you have to find out what you do. Especially since there probably wasn't that many walkthroughs back then. The people who figured that stuff out were pretty good gamers. Gaming kind of makes us lazy now, unfortunately. And fortunately, because, you know, it doesn't really make you figure anything out. You get stuck on something, you can YouTube it, you know, be like, hey, what do I do here? The key is missing. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, next game, Aliens Colonial Marines, which actually comes out this month, but that game vanished for 5 years. They canceled it, and then they said, oh no, it's not canceled, we're gonna come out with it, and then they canceled it again, and then we didn't hear about it, and then like, in 2012, near the end of 2012, they're like, yeah, we're coming out with it on February. And I was like, what the hell are you guys doing? So it comes out February, which is this month. I think it's coming out like the 26th or something. I don't have a precise date written down, and I don't really have a lot of time to look it up. So, we are moving on. Next, we have our final segment of the podcast, which is news and rumors. We don't have a lot of that. We have the new Alienware console. What they did, it's called the X15 or X14. They took a PC and they put it in a console shell, so you can still customize it, choose your colors, all that biz, good stuff. It has an Intel i7 dual-core Blu-ray reader, so it's going to be pretty powerful. It's going to be able to read discs like a boss. You're going to be able to play games on that well. I think it has 2 controller plugins, a mic plugin, and a head plugin, or a headphone plugin, geez. Now on to our rumors. We have Amnesia Machine for Pigs. If I wanted to, I could have made this podcast like 2 hours long, because I still have so much. But last part here, we have Amnesia Machine for Pigs, which that is the rumors surrounding a new Amnesia game. I, for a fact, know it's probably going to come out probably this year, maybe. Hopefully. That would be great. It's looking pretty intense. Not much info released. You have 2 trailers. That's about it. I could use some more info if anybody has any. Tweet me up. Email me. Hit me up on the SoundClouds. Tell me what's going on with the game. I could look it up, but I kind of looked it up for a while, you know, but then I was like, oh, it's getting late. I should do my podcast, because it's Friday night. We got to do part 2. So, thanks for listening to part 2, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you didn't feel like it was rushed. I kind of had fun doing it. Still got my footnotes and my stuff and all that stuff. And tell us what you think about the music for the fade-in and fade-out of the podcast. We enjoy your feedback. Follow us, TGCP, on Twitter. Follow us on SoundCloud. We're coming up on iTunes. We will be tweeting the crap out of Twitter, telling everybody about our iTunes. Give you exact search terms, so you can download that, subscribe, put it on your iPod, all that good stuff. So, thank you for listening, and now with the fade out. Just because
See Jesus, see Judas, see Caesar, see...